Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're doing things a little differently. You know how we usually cover multiple sources? Well, today we're going deep on just one, and it's a fascinating one.
Oh, definitely. It's called Trapin 103, and it's all about bringing a street-smart approach to investing.
I love that. It's like taking those Wall Street secrets and translating them into something everyone can understand.
Exactly. It's about making investing relatable. You know, like you're learning from a seasoned mentor who's been there and done that.
Right. So if you're ready to level up your investing game, this deep dive is for you.
Absolutely. And one of the first things this source emphasizes is knowing yourself
Okay.
as an investor. It's like tailoring a suit.
I like that.
It needs to fit you perfectly. You wouldn't rock a three-piece to a beach party, right?
No, definitely not.
Same goes for your investment strategy.
So how do we go about finding our investing style?
Well, the source breaks down two main approaches to analyzing stocks:
Okay.
technical and fundamental. Have you heard of these? Yeah, I've come across those terms before, but honestly,
Yeah.
I could use a refresher on what they actually mean.
Absolutely. So imagine technical analysis is like reading tea leaves, but instead of tea, it's stock charts.
Interesting.
You're spotting patterns, looking at those squiggly lines going up and down, and trying to predict future price movements based on past trends.
Okay, so it's all about anticipating those market waves, knowing when to ride the highs and navigate the lows.
Exactly. So that's technical analysis. Now, fundamental analysis, that's different. It's like going beyond the hype and getting to know a company inside out, just like you would if you were hustling a product on the streets.
So it's like due diligence, really understanding what you're investing in.
Right. You're checking their financial statements, seeing if their stock price matches their actual worth.
So basically, looking for those hidden gems that the market might be overlooking.
Exactly. Now, here's the cool part the source points out. You don't have to pick just one.
We don't.
No. Blending technical and fundamental analysis, creating your own hybrid style, can be a really powerful approach.
I like that. It's like having multiple tools in your arsenal to tackle those different market situations.
Exactly. And the source also dives into different investing styles.
So it's like choosing your hustle within the investment world.
Right. They highlight three main styles: dividend investing, growth investing, and value investing. Each one caters to a different type of investor and their individual goals.
Awesome. So let's break those down. Starting with dividend investing, it sounds like it's all about getting paid just for owning a company stock.
It is. Imagine getting a cut of the profits just for being part of the team.
Sign me up.
The source explains that dividends are typically paid out every 3 months and the amount you receive. Well, it depends on how many shares you own.
So if a company's consistently paying out dividends, that means they're doing well, right? Like they're sharing their success with their investors.
It can be a good sign. But it's not just about whether they pay dividends. It's about the trend. Are those payouts growing steadily over time? That's a strong signal of a company's commitment to rewarding long-term investors.
Like us.
Exactly. And the source, they emphasize checking a company's dividend history. It's a key indicator of their stability.
That makes sense. So we're looking for consistent growth in those dividend payouts.
Yes, and they even give a step-by-step guide on how to research that history on Yahoo Finance, using Apple as an example.
And Apple's been known to increase its dividends consistently.
They have. But remember, past performance doesn't guarantee future results. You always want to dig deeper and understand the reasons behind any stops or declines in a company's dividend history. It's like investigating a sudden drop in sales on the streets. You got to figure out what's causing it.
Oh, for sure. We've got our magnifying glass ready to scrutinize those dividend trends.
All right, now let's shift gears to growth investing. This style is for those who are ready to ride that roller coaster.
Oh, the roller coaster, huh?
Embracing the potential for high risk and high reward.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting. It's all about spotting those companies with explosive growth potential, the ones that could be the next Amazon or Netflix.
Yeah, and that phenomenal growth, that's what draws many to this style. But the source makes a point about emotional resilience. Because let's face it, with high reward comes the potential for some stomach-churning drops along the way.
Definitely. So, how do you, as an expert, advise someone to handle those inevitable dips when investing in growth stocks?
It's all about having a long-term mindset. You need to be comfortable with volatility and not get spooked by those short-term fluctuations. Think of it like surfing. You're riding the waves, knowing that some will be bigger than others, but you're in it for the thrill of the ride.
Okay, so we're gonna be hanging 10 with our growth stocks. But how do we identify these companies in the first place?
Well, the source highlights some key characteristics to look for, starting with expanding market. Think of industries that are on the rise, aligning with those emerging trends. They give examples like the vegan and organic food industry with companies like Corteva, or the transportation services industry with companies like Uber and Lyft. These are markets that have massive room for growth.
It's about betting on those industries that are disrupting the status quo, the ones that are shaping the future.
Another factor they emphasize is loyalty. Loyalty. They say to look for companies with a strong, dedicated customer base, similar to building a loyal clientele on the streets.
That makes me wonder, what were some of the early signs that companies like Amazon and Netflix had such explosive growth potential? Was it their loyal customer base or something else?
Well, their ability to tap into emerging markets was key, but their focus on customer experience and creating a loyal following definitely played a huge role. Think about it. If people love your product and keep coming back for more, that's a strong indicator of potential growth.
Yeah, the source uses Starbucks as an example. Their loyal customer base and widespread accessibility have fueled their impressive growth. It's like they've created a culture around their brand.
They have. It's a reminder that understanding consumer behavior and brand loyalty can provide valuable insights for growth investors.
Okay, so we've got dividend investing, where you're looking for those steady payouts, and growth investing, where you're riding the wave of high growth potential. What's next?
Let's dive into value investing, which is like the art of finding those hidden gems, the companies that are trading for less than they're actually worth.
So you're saying they're undervalued.
Exactly. The source calls it buying that dollar bill for $8.
Ooh, I like that. So this approach requires patience, research, and a keen eye for spotting those opportunities that the market might be missing.
Exactly. And think of legendary investors like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, who are known for their value investing approach. It's all about identifying those undervalued companies and then waiting for the market to recognize their true worth.
So how do we go about finding these hidden gems? Where do we even begin?
Well, the source breaks down some key concepts for value investors, starting with the PEG ratio, or price earnings growth ratio.
Okay.
This metric helps you compare a company's current price to its future growth expectations.
I see.
A PEG ratio less than 1 suggests the company might be undervalued.
Oh, okay. So it's a way to assess if the price is right, considering its growth potential.
Exactly. But it's essential to compare similar companies within the same industry, apples to apples.
Right. Don't go comparing a tech startup to a grocery chain.
Uh-huh. Right. The source also emphasizes the circle of competence.
Okay. What's that?
They encourage investors to stick to what they know, focus on those companies and industries they truly understand.
This is where that street smart analogy really comes into play. Sticking to products you know well gives you an edge and minimizes those risks. You're not going to hustle something you don't believe in.
Exactly. The source even uses a personal anecdote about their own experience with street hustling to illustrate this point. They talk about how sticking to products they understood helped them succeed.
So if you're passionate about a particular industry or have deep knowledge in a certain area, that's a great place to start your value investing journey.
Absolutely. And once you've identified a potentially undervalued company within your circle of competence, the key is patience.
Okay.
Value investing is often a long game. You're waiting for the right price and being willing to hold on to your investments for the long haul.
That sounds like it takes discipline. It's not about chasing those quick wins. It's about believing in the long-term potential of those undervalued companies.
It is. And as Charlie Munger famously said, great value investing is like watching paint dry. It's not for those seeking instant gratification, but for those who are patient and disciplined, value investing can be incredibly rewarding.
So we've covered the three main investing styles: dividend, growth, and value. But before we move on, I'm curious about something the source mentions, the freedom price. What exactly does that mean?
This is where the source takes a personal turn and connects investing to you, the individual.
Okay.
They ask a powerful question. What is your freedom price? It's a thought-provoking concept that encourages you to think about your financial goals and aspirations. How can investing help you achieve the freedom you desire?
This freedom price idea really resonated with me. It makes you think, what does freedom look like in dollars and cents? And how can I leverage my investments to get there? It's like having a financial compass guiding your decisions.
Exactly. Understanding your values and goals is crucial in shaping your investment strategy. Whether you're saving for retirement, a down payment on a house, or simply seeking financial independence, defining your freedom price gives you a target to aim for.
So before we even think about picking stocks, we need to take some time to reflect on what financial freedom means to us. What's that magic number that will give us the peace of mind and flexibility we desire?
Once you have that clarity, you can start building an investment plan that aligns with your freedom price and choose the investing style that best suits your personality and risk tolerance. It's like having a roadmap for your financial journey.
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork, we've explored different investing styles, and analyzed the concept of freedom price. What else does the source cover that we need to know?
Well, they also introduce a key metric called earnings per share, or EPS, which can help you evaluate a company's profitability.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. What exactly is EPS, and how do we use it to our advantage?
Think of EPS as a snapshot of a company's profitability, showing how much profit they're generating for each share of stock.
So if a company has high EPS, that means they're making more money per share, which is a good thing, right?
It can be. But remember, like many things in the world of investing, context is key. EPS shouldn't be viewed in isolation.
So we need to look at EPS in relation to other factors, like the company's industry, growth potential, and overall financial health.
Precisely. The source also emphasizes comparing EPS figures for similar companies within the same industry. It's like comparing apples to apples.
Right. You wouldn't judge a tech startup's EPS against that of a well-established retail giant.
Exactly. And just to clarify, we can easily find this EPS information on Yahoo Finance, right?
Hey, it's one of the first things you see when you look up a stock.
Absolutely. It's readily available for your research. So while EPS is a helpful metric, it's important to use it wisely and not rely on it solely when making those investment decisions.
It's just one piece of the puzzle, one tool in our investing toolkit. We need to consider all the angles before making those big moves.
Now, before we move on to the next part of our deep dive, let's take a quick pause and reflect on what we've learned so far from Trappin 103.
This source has been a goldmine of information, offering a street-smart approach to understanding the stock market and making those complex concepts relatable.
It's all about finding your own investing style, understanding different analytical approaches, and exploring various investment strategies.
And let's not forget that powerful concept of freedom price. Defining our financial goals and aspirations is crucial for making informed investment decisions.
Absolutely. Now, before we dive into part two, let's leave you with a thought-provoking question to ponder. It's inspired by the source's emphasis on investing within your circle of competence. If you had to pick one company within your circle of competence to invest in right now, which would it be and why?
Think about your passions, your knowledge, and the industries you're most drawn to. Consider those companies that align with your values and have the potential to generate long-term growth. We'll be back in part two to explore even more insights from Trappin 103. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Trappin 103. You know, one of the things that struck me about this source is how it emphasizes the mental game of investing. It's not just about crunching numbers and analyzing charts. There's a whole psychological aspect to it.
It's true. It's like having the right mindset can make all the difference.
Exactly. And one of the key mental shifts the source encourages is thinking about re-upping.
Re-upping, what's that?
Now, this term comes from the streets, but it's all about reinvesting those profits, you know, to fuel even more growth.
Oh, okay. So it's like taking your earnings from a successful deal and putting them right back into the game.
That's a great analogy. The source actually gives an example. Imagine earning, say, $100,000 in profit from your investments.
Wow, that's a nice chunk of change.
Instead of spending it all, you decide to re-up by reinvesting, let's say, $80,000.
Okay, so you still have $20,000 to enjoy, but now you've got a powerful engine driving even more growth. That $80,000 is out there working hard for you, compounding those returns.
It's like having your money make money while you sleep.
Everyone's dream.
But re-upping takes discipline. It's about resisting that urge to spend all your earnings and focusing on building a sustainable portfolio that will continue to grow over time.
It's playing the long game, not getting distracted by their short-term temptations. Now, speaking of long-term strategies, how does this re-upping concept connect to the different investing styles we discussed earlier?
It's relevant across all styles, but especially crucial for growth and value investing, which often require a longer-term perspective.
So with growth investing, where you're aiming for those explosive returns, re-upping would accelerate that growth even further. And with value investing, where patience is key, re-upping helps you maximize those gains when those undervalued companies finally reach their true potential.
Exactly. It's like adding fuel to the fire no matter which style you're rocking. But remember, re-upping isn't just about blindly throwing money back into the market. It's about being strategic and making informed decisions.
So we're still doing our due diligence, researching those companies, and making sure our investments are aligned with our overall goals and risk tolerance.
Right. Re-upping is a powerful tool, but it's most effective when combined with sound investment principles and a clear understanding of the market.
Now, speaking of understanding the market, I want to circle back to a concept we touched on earlier, earnings per share, or EPS.
EPS. It's one of those metrics that can really give you insights into a company's profitability.
But earlier, we talked about how EPS shouldn't be viewed in isolation. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Remember, EPS is just a snapshot of a company's earnings at a specific point in time. It doesn't tell the whole story.
So what other factors should we be considering alongside EPS?
Well, for starters, you want to look at the company's growth trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Are their earnings increasing steadily over time? Or are they stagnant or even declining? That trend is crucial.
Makes sense. A company with a high EPS but declining earnings might not be as attractive as a company with a lower EPS but consistent growth. It's all about that upward momentum.
Exactly. You also want to compare a company's EPS to its competitors. How do they stack up against others in the same industry? Are they outperforming or lagging behind?
It's like sizing up the competition on the streets. You want to know who's holding their own and who's struggling to keep up.
Another important factor to consider is the company's debt levels. High levels of debt can eat into those earnings and impact their ability to grow.
So even if a company has a high EPS, if they're drowning in debt, that's a red flag. It's like having a fancy car but being unable to afford the gas.
Right. And don't forget about those dividends we talked about earlier. Companies that consistently pay dividends often have a stable track record of earnings and profitability.
So dividends can actually be a clue to a company's financial health and their commitment to rewarding investors.
They can. It's like a company sharing their success with those who have invested in them.
Okay, so we've got a lot to consider when it comes to EPS, earnings growth, industry comparisons, debt levels, and dividend payouts. It's about looking at the bigger picture, not just focusing on one isolated number.
Exactly. And remember, Trappin 103 emphasizes that EPS information is readily available on Yahoo Finance. You have the power to do your own research and make informed decisions.
It's about empowering ourselves with knowledge and using those tools to our advantage.
Now, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to touch on one more concept from Trappin 103 that I think ties in nicely with what we've been discussing, the importance of patience.
Patience seems to be a recurring theme in this source, especially when it comes to investing styles like value investing.
It is. The source emphasizes that building wealth through investing is a marathon, not a sprint. It's about playing the long game and not getting sidetracked by those short-term market fluctuations.
So how do we cultivate that patience, especially in a world that's obsessed with instant gratification?
Well, the source suggests a few strategies. First, it's about having a clear understanding of your goals and your freedom price. When you know what you're working towards, it's easier to stay focused and ride out those market storms.
It's like having that destination in mind, even when the journey gets bumpy.
Exactly. And remember, Trappin 103 encourages us to see those market dips as opportunities, not setbacks. It's like buying those stocks on sale.
So instead of panicking when the market drops, we can view it as a chance to snag some great deals. That's a powerful mindset shift.
It is. The source also reminds us that time is on our side when it comes to investing. The longer we stay invested, the more potential we have for those returns to compound and grow.
It's like planting a tree and letting it grow. The more time it has, the stronger and taller it becomes.
Now, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive, let's take a moment to reflect on the power of patience in investing. It's a crucial element of success, no matter which style you choose.
It's about trusting the process, staying focused on our goals, and remembering that building wealth takes time and discipline.
Stay tuned for part 3, where we'll wrap up our exploration of Trappin 103 with some final insights and actionable takeaways.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Trappin 103. We've covered so much ground, from finding your investing style to understanding key metrics like EPS and the importance of re-upping those profits. But as we wrap things up, I'm curious what you found most impactful. What really stood out for you in this source?
You know, what resonates most with me is how Trappin 103 emphasizes the mindset of successful investing. It's not just about the mechanics, you know. It's about cultivating the right attitude.
It's about approaching the market with that street smart mentality. Being resourceful, adaptable, always willing to learn.
Exactly. And the source highlights a few key traits that I think are essential for any investor. The first is self-awareness. Remember how we talked about tailoring your investment strategy to fit you perfectly, like a custom-made suit? Well, that starts with understanding your strengths, weaknesses, risk tolerance, and financial goals.
It's about knowing yourself before you even step onto the playing field.
Right. The source also emphasizes the importance of discipline. Investing is a long game, and it requires patience, consistency, and the ability to stick to your plan even when the market gets turbulent.
And speaking of turbulence, the source reminds us that market dips are inevitable. But instead of fearing those downturns, we should view them as opportunities. It's like buying those stocks on sale.
Exactly. And that ties into another key trait the source highlights: resilience. Successful investors are able to bounce back from setbacks, adapt to changing market conditions, and stay focused on their long-term goals.
It's about having that mental toughness to weather those storms and come out stronger on the other side. Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to circle back to a question we posed earlier, one that really gets to the heart of the source's message. If you had to pick one company within your circle of competence to invest in right now, which would it be and why?
It's a great question to ponder. Because it forces you to put all those concepts we've discussed into practice.
Think about the industries you're passionate about, the companies you admire, and the ones that align with your values and investment goals. What's that one company you believe in, the one you think has the potential to thrive in the long run?
Remember, this is an exercise in applying those Trappin 103 principles. Consider your circle of competence, your risk tolerance, and your overall investment strategy.
And as you're pondering this question, remember that investing is a journey, not a destination. It's about continuous learning, adapting to those ever-changing market conditions, and making informed decisions that align with your financial goals. We hope this deep dive into Trappin 103 has equipped you with the knowledge and inspiration to navigate that journey with confidence and a street-smart edge. Thanks for joining us, and happy investing.